Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Welcome to radio station CJMQ, broadcasting to the eastern townships of the province of Quebec. My name is Nigel Parker, the minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, and you join us as we bring you this broadcast of the Word of Grace. We rejoice in the lifting of various COVID restrictions as they have affected churches in Quebec province. Do check with your regular place and congregation of worship to see if they are open and under what restrictions. We at St. Andrew's Sherbrooke will gather at 10:30 a.m. at our building at 256 Rue Queen Street in Sherbrooke, where we usually have enough space to welcome visitors together with their vaccine passports. However, we will continue to live stream our service on our YouTube channel and also our Facebook page. You can connect to these through our church website. When Margot Van Slytman was 8 years old, her parents moved from Guyana to Canada in order to bring up their three children in a safer environment. In March 1978, when she was 16, Margot's father was murdered during an armed robbery at the Hudson Bay store where he worked. Many years later, Margot embarked on a path of reconciliation with her father's killer. In these reflections, we'll hear Jesus' words on loving your enemies, doing good to those who hate you, and we'll find out how Margot Van Slytman recovered. But first, a music of praise.
Thank you.
Psalm 37. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass they will soon wither, like green plants they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Let us pray. Eternal and everlasting God, you came to our world in Jesus, and you shared in our humanity, you walked with us, and you still come to us through the presence of your Spirit, sharing in our experiences each and every day, sharing in our worship, whatever our form or number. You are there. Be with us now as we come to you to share in worship. We know nothing can separate us from your love, so whether we're together or apart, we're still part of the body of Christ. As we read your word and listen for your voice, open our eyes to your presence in our lives, and open our lives to your grace and power. Even though we fail you time and time again, you never walk away and you never fail us. Undeserving though we are, you show us mercy. You do not turn away in the moments our faith is feeble, in the moments when we doubt, or when we are hesitant disciples, reluctant to share your word and witness with others, for fear of what that might mean for us. Lord, your grace defies expression, too wonderful for us to fully comprehend, and though we fail you, you never fail us. Thank you for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that through his cross we are forgiven. Lord, continue to grant us, unworthy as we are, your grace. Amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, at verse 27. Jesus said, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Amen.
Yonder on Calvary's mount.
These words of Scripture and the instructions from Jesus that they contain have been, for some people, the most liberating message they have ever heard, and for other people, they have become the most oppressive and damning message possible. The problem line, of course, is when Jesus says, "Love your enemies," and then he goes on to explain what that means by saying, "Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you." And if that wasn't problem enough, he goes on to talk about turning the other cheek when you get hit. They are words that are hard, whoever you are. By definition, loving your enemies is difficult. But to some people, these words are like a kick in the teeth, either because of the people that come to mind when they hear them, or because of the context in which the words were quoted at them. There are people who hear these words as, "Love your rapist," or "Do good to those who sexually abused you when you were a child. Bless those who messed up your life so badly that every relationship you've ever had since has been a painful struggle. Pray for those who murdered your mother in front of your 3-year-old eyes." I began with reference to the story of Margot van Sleitman. When she was 8 years old, her parents moved from Guyana to Canada to bring up their 3 children in a safer environment. When she was 16, Margot's father was murdered, and many years later, Margot embarked on a path of reconciliation with her father's killer. This is her story. 3 days after my dad was shot, a journalist came to the door to talk to my mother. "Do you ever think you'll be able to forgive the man, Glenn Flett, who killed your husband?" she asked, and without hesitating, my mum said, "Yes, I forgive him so that I can live." She knew that if she thought differently, she wouldn't survive, and she almost didn't, as 1 year later, she spent 12 months in hospital. When I was 18, I tried to kill myself with a bottle of pills. My mother came to see me and said, "I've lost Daddy. I can't lose you too." After that, I never tried to take my own life again, but instead for 6 years I became bulimic. I had this feeling that half of me was black. I would walk around feeling like half a person, completely lost. Somehow I managed to do an honours degree in English and philosophy, and although I didn't believe in much, I did believe in love. And when I fell in love, we got married and started a family. The marriage didn't last, but my 2 daughters gave me a reason to stay alive. And yet still my life felt full of existential angst. An author I knew said to me once, "You're not the only one who feels pain, Margot." But I was trapped in my hurt, and any injustice filled me with vitriol. Margot goes on, "It was poetry that saved me. I've always loved language, and I created an ideal job for myself using poetry as a form of healing to help people with their grief. I ran courses and published several books. I received an award from the National Association of Poetry Therapy in America for my book, Dance With Your Healing, Tears Let Me Begin to Speak. I'd felt like a loser all my life, and this accolade made me feel worth something again. Just after collecting the award, I received a donation to my publishing press, Palabra, from a woman I didn't know. And I sat there staring at the name and then turned to my daughter and said, 'You won't believe this, but I've just received a donation from the wife of Grandpa's killer.' And it turned out that Glenn Flett, who had transformed his life in prison and been released after 14 years of incarceration, had attended an event aiming to bring victims and perpetrators together, where a woman had asked if he ever thought of contacting the family of his victim. And when he replied yes, she went away to research what I was doing and then showed him my publishing press work. And so I, that's Margot, replied to Glenn's wife to thank her for the donation to ask if her husband would consider giving me an apology. She emailed straight back saying, 'He has been waiting a long time to do this.' So from then on, Glenn and I started to exchange emails. They were emails filled with humanity. His words helped to heal me, but after a while the words weren't enough and I knew I needed to look into his eyes. So 3 months later I met the man who killed my father. After introducing myself, we both started to sob and just hugged each other. It was extremely powerful. We did lots of talking and lots of crying. It was as if we knew each other. All I can say is that from that moment on, that black part of me started to get coloured in." And so Margot's story provides a path of forgiveness. It's what it does for us rather than what it does for others. Margot avowed a general faith in love, love as a force, as an idea. The point of the Bible passage is that God's love for us is overwhelmingly generous. All we are expected to do is to respond in kind. God treats us far better than we deserve. It would be very easy to stand up and make a big bad list of all the ways in which we've insulted God, damaged God's creation, and contributed to the path of pain and hostility within God's world. Every one of us has caused more than our fair share of hurt and misery to ourselves and to others, and consequentially we've caused hurt and grief to God. But God's response to us continues to be extravagantly generous and loving and forgiving. God continues to turn the other cheek, to give more than we ask for, and to reach out to us in love, no matter how unfaithful we've been. And if you find that hard to believe, just look at the stories of Jesus. He didn't owe you or me anything, but he accepted being tortured to death rather than compromise his message of God's overflowing love for you and me. So what Jesus is saying here is that he wants you to learn from God's example and treat others the way God treats you. Just as God has the power to wipe you out, but chooses to love you instead, so you have the power to withhold love and hope from others. But God says, love. Let us pray. Loving God, you have called us to be a living community, a people bound together as the body of Christ and a family united in love. And yet, Lord, in our broken world, so many are suffering, so many are hurting. Hear our prayers, Lord, for those whose lives are ruled by hate and vengeance rather than love and justice, for those whose homes are not places of love or safety but places of fear and violence, for those who have no home to speak of and have become invisible on our streets, for those who are stigmatized because of status, ill health, ethnicity and religion. Lord, you've asked us to love our neighbors, all of them, and not just the ones we choose. Enable us and equip us to carry out your command and to make a positive difference in the lives of those who are our neighbors and are struggling. We pray for all in our congregations and communities who are ill at home or in hospital. Bring your healing hands and soothing balm upon them. For all who are anxiously awaiting treatment, results or appointments due to the impact of COVID-19 and our overwhelmed health services. For anxious relatives and carers who are overexhausted and there is no rest, no end in sight, while much-needed care packages are few and far between. Lord, equip us, your servants and disciples, to assist them in their time of need. Enable us to be beacons of light in another dark day. Lord, it's hard to love those who belittle, who shun, who exclude, and who racially abuse. Inspire us to be willing advocates for truth, justice, and reconciliation. When we feel we should get our own back, you ask us to turn the other cheek. You call us all to make a positive difference and to heal your broken world of its hurt and its divisions. For we can all make a positive difference when we act and believe in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
He showed me love when all the hope I had was gone. He showed me love and gave me strength to carry on. I just put my faith in Jesus and let him take my hand. I know he's gonna lead me to the promised land. He showed me love and he'll do the same for you. He showed me love here in my heart I never felt before. He showed me love enough to give and never hunger for. I was always lost and searching, running anywhere I could, chasing every rainbow till I understood. He showed me love, and he'll do the same for you. Jesus said he would. He showed me love. And he'll do the same for you. If you ask him to, he showed me love. And he'll do the same for you.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.